It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, and taking your calls on our local numbers, too, in Onslow, 353-4674. If you have a question on a legal matter in Carteret, Craven, or Pamlico County, 247-7282. Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins back in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today, Cecil?
Well, sure. We're going to talk about debtor-creditor issues today. Mm-hmm. We touched on that before on the, on the program. But at Harvell & Collins, we deal a lot with those issues, whether it be foreclosure-related issues and deficiency actions, whether it be claims against a decedent's estate.
Mm-hmm.
And we really are, by use of the law and our statutes, we're able to help our clients out significantly in most cases in dealing with these claims against either the estates or deficiency actions or whatever the situation might be. In most cases, we're able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we think it's important for our listeners to listen to this program and understand what your rights are with regard to these type things, and understand that, for example, you know, when mom or dad passes away, grandma, grandpa, don't just start paying everybody off.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Yeah,
because there's, you know, a procedure that our statutes have in place that allow us in many cases to avoid some of that personal debt,
mm-hmm.
credit card debt, you know, these type things. So we'll discuss that today.
Yeah, there's always a case of follow the money at some point in time, almost with every matter.
It really does come up almost invariably in every estate that we handle. But yesterday I had a conference with a lady, Asian descent, who lives here in our county. Really smart lady who has quite a bit of commercial real estate,
mm-hmm.
but also had a residential rental,
mm-hmm.
that had a mortgage on it that she just is not, she frankly is not able to make that property work financially.
Mm-hmm.
And her question was, if she defaulted on the mortgage on the residential property, would the lender be able to come against her paid for commercial properties?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you know, she's asking basically the word, you know, what happens if there's a deficiency?
Mm.
You know, if the foreclosure goes through on the residential property and there's still $25,000 or $35,000 owed on the note,
mm-hmm.
because when the property sold, it did not completely satisfy the debt.
Right.
Then can my lender, you know, sue me and recover against, you know, the commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to place the commercial property finally into an LLC in order to protect it. So that's a good situation for a lawyer. That, in other words, those are some nice facts for us to be able to mold and kind of get into form for her benefit. We'll receive a very positive result for her in her file.
Well, I would imagine that all for that one, it all depends on how its property is owned, you know, and what kind of entity is it.
Well, these properties are all owned by her individually.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah,
it will be difficult for the lender. You know, the lender's remedy is first absolutely against the property that they have collateral,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they have the mortgage. And if, in fact, there is a deficiency judgment, then, you know, that's the kind of thing that we can negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
We can offer to cooperate on the front end of the foreclosure so that they release their deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
The deficiency can be negotiated and settled,
mm-hmm.
for some compromised amount. And all of that is applicable even if the lender is in the mode, the frame of mind legally, if you will, to collect on their deficiencies,
mm-hmm.
which is not always what lenders are doing this day and time when the deficiency is not that significant.
Right. Is it worth their time?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I agree with Cecil. I mean, we're going to start with the property in the, mm-hmm. event there is a foreclosure. I mean, obviously, if there's a failure to pay, there's going to be a default and probably a foreclosure. So,
mm-hmm.
if the lender does not get made whole or close to whole, and there is a deficiency, then they have that 1 year period of time. It's a short statute of limitations. And, you know, that's A number one. We look at that first. Sometimes we're seeing deficiency actions that are a little late, and then that's a complete bar to to the statute. Or there is a threat of filing a deficiency action, but a year is already run. So we're able to just use that bar for the client and make the deficiency go away, and that's the end of story for this client. And by the way, I hadn't heard any of those facts until Cecil just said them. I'm sitting here listening to this. Like, oh, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. There's a lot of moving parts there. So obviously, you know, the deficiency would be against the individual. Now, in the event there is a deficiency action and a deficiency judgment, you know, we get into defenses in that action as far as whether the bid in of the bank was commercially reasonable. We look at the foreclosure. We look at why there was a deficiency. You know, did you operate and do what you were supposed to do under this foreclosure? We can knock that number down sometimes when we're dealing with the deficiency action, you know, itself. But then we, you know, Cecil brings up the other set of facts with regard to, you know, the other property.
Right.
Well, I would have liked to have seen that other property, which we've described as commercial property, already being in an LLC.
Right.
I mean, we're operating it as a business commercial property. I guess it's rental property,
it
something
is.
Like that.
Well, we've had that question a caller called in and asked, should I, you know, I have a mobile home or two, for example, that I rent out. Should I own, should those be owned in an LLC?
Yeah.
You know, those, that was one of the questions. And then all the circumstances, you know, may line up or may not. But
The safest play would be if you're using it for a commercial purpose, it's safe to have it in a commercial entity. Okay. But in this scenario, if we're talking about, you know, these properties being in an LLC and a deficiency judgment against the individual, then the holder of that judgment, the bank, the lender who foreclosed, then looks at the fact that, wow, this person is largely judgment proof, but there is this LLC over there.
Right.
Well, then we get into the law as it relates to charging orders. I mean, what can I get out of this LLC?
Okay. We have a caller on the line, Rachel in Moorhead City, with a question for us. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And what's your call? What's your question?
My call is my mother has passed away, and I am the executor of her estate, and I was wondering how long does it take to probate her estate?
Yeah. How long does it take? Well, probably depends on the estate, but let's get the answer to that.
Well, that's a good question, and that has a loaded answer.
Yeah.
How long does it take? Ben, let me begin by saying it takes at least 3 to 4 months because that is the statute relative to the creditors being allowed to present their claim. The estate, after it is opened, the executor and or administrator places the notice to the creditors in the newspaper where the decedent lived, his residency or her residency, if you will, or possibly some neighboring county if there were business in two counties. You want to notify the creditors via the publication, and that runs for 4 consecutive weeks, and it allows the creditors a period of 3 months to present their claims. So one should really not close the estate until that period of time has run.
At least.
And this is the first thing that a lot of clients do not know, and we have to explain. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's a difference between closing the estate and having matters settled.
Right. The actual probating.
Right.
The estate.
I mean, we can go ahead and change bank accounts, stock accounts, process IRA beneficiary, distributions, life insurance proceeds, sell the car, put the real estate on the market, maybe even have a seller for it. All of this can happen as soon as the letters of qualification are issued, which is literally in our county and neighboring counties, you know, 24, 48 hours after we put them register the application at the clerk's office.
Well, and Rachel, I don't know if you've run into this, but this sometimes it's frustrating just getting the death certificates and then the letters of testamentary too. So.
It is. It can take some time to get the death certificate, depending on the type of death.
Mm-hmm.
But to go forward with the question, with Rachel's question, so we go ahead and we get all of these other things done,
mm-hmm.
Many times get them done or begin to get them processed through, even though that 3-month period is running. Now, that's a fairly simple estate. Some of your more complicated ones, and what makes an estate complicated? Well, first of all, if they're the nature of the assets.
Right.
Assets in different states, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple pieces of real property. Multiple accounts or stock accounts or bank accounts and particularly if they are domiciled in another state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have two estates right now in our office that involve Canadian property.
Mm.
You know, I know we have some Canadian listeners out there because trust me, there
right.
are a lot
right.
of Canadian folks retiring here to Craven and Carteret County.
Yes, and we have a lot of folks that just have multi-state properties anyway.
Yep, we do. Mm-hmm. We do, but I'm surprised at the number of Canadian
mm-hmm.
people that have chosen to now retire here, and they have interest back in Canada.
Right.
So we now have our list of Canadian lawyers in our office that we need mm-hmm. to consult with. But if you have those kinds of circumstances in a file, then I would say that the file takes on more of a 9-month to 1 year
mm-hmm.
Time frame.
Right.
Again, Ben, you have to distinguish very quickly because if our listener's thinking, you mean it's going to take a year?
Right.
I don't mean it's going to take a year to sell the property or the car or process the life insurance or the IRA or the bank accounts. I'm just saying to be able to know that all aspects of the estate have
mm-hmm.
been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
All titles have been appropriately changed. All creditors have been either dealt with or compromised, which
mm-hmm.
is the nature of this program today. That process can sometimes take a year.
Should you wait at least in the 3 months for the creditor alignment before anything is distributed according to the will?
You should. The executor, if he or she makes a distribution prior to the 3 months, and then assets are not sufficient to pay a creditor, then the administrator and or executor could be held personally liable for having made that distribution prior to the 3-month period.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That is good to know. My mother had taken out a mortgage and I don't think she has enough money to pay it off in her estate, so I should not pay that.
Okay, yeah. Well, that is something we run into quite often. I was in fact going to say in terms of, again, it's playing in interestingly to the credit debtor creditor topic of today. We have several estates where there are ongoing foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
A general rule is that the property is going to pass subject to the mortgage.
Unless
the will states otherwise that the mortgage is to specifically be paid from other assets in the estate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the rule. I mean, there are exceptions to that, of course.
And it would not be the requirement of the executor
right.
mm-hmm.
to personally come forward with their own resources and pay the mortgage payments of their, mother or father or brother
oh,
or
right.
sister.
Sure.
And it's also not the responsibility of the estate to do that either. I mean, that asset's going to pass to the beneficiaries, assuming there's a will, subject to that mortgage, and then someone's going to have to pick that up. Usually at that point in time, the banks are notifying the family members to try to get a modification or refinance
sure.
done.
Sure, so because there may be a few months of the mortgage gone by this
well,
time, right?
That's right, and we see this happen all the time. We represent banks, we represent
mm-hmm.
states, we're on both sides of this. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, as long as the loan is performing,
mm-hmm.
so let's say that, the person dies, and, but the kids or the estate goes ahead and keeps paying the mortgage payment so we don't lose the property.
Right.
and then the estate gets settled, but the loan never gets taken care of. Well, if time goes on and the kids, for example, are still making the payments on this loan, but let's say that they do default eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no deficiency there because the deficiency would be against an estate that's empty.
Right.
So the bank wants to clean that up eventually. But a lot of times they don't really pay much attention to that as long as they're getting that monthly mortgage payment.
Right. So they may be getting it from someone who's not alive.
Yeah, and the kid, right.
Essentially.
That's right. And the kids want to make sure, hey, we know we got to pay this. Otherwise, we're going to get foreclosed on.
Right.
Right.
We have many executors that are frustrated.
I know Rachel's still on the line. Does that take care of your question
thank
for now?
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Rachel.
We have many executors who become frustrated with the time because of the one thing that is holding up the estate from mm-hmm. closure is this foreclosure on the property.
Right.
Which is just taking forever for the lenders to get all of the I's dotted and all of the T's crossed. And, of course, we try to do deeds in lieu of foreclosure when we can or negotiate those matters if we can. But that's easier said than done.
Right. Again, we're talking about creditor and debtor issues. If you would like to give us a call, 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674, here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Welcome back. We're talking about creditor and debtor issues and other things, too, that come up in civil law practice. And you can give us a call and talk with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here on Let's Talk Legal. Just give us a call right now for that. But, again, we are just off of a simple question. We've unloaded a lot of
concerns. But it brings up a lot of good practical mm-hmm. things to talk about. We can continue talking about this next week. Ben, to go back a bit to Rachel's question about how long does it take, I think the goal is for it to take as little time as possible,
mm-hmm.
and I might add as little resources in terms of as little attorney fee
right.
and or accounting fee or appraisal fee
sure.
as possible.
Yeah.
After all, clients are concerned about the cost, the mm-hmm. overall cost, mm-hmm. and they're concerned about the time. And we're concerned about those things. But there are so many variations in a file. And debts and mortgages are particularly a part of a file. If they exist in an estate, then they are certainly something that is going to create some time expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just can't get those things resolved overnight. And those estates are the ones that can linger on for a bit. But we try to move them as promptly as possible because we are aware that clients want closure on these things and they are relying on us to move the estate just as quickly as possible and to be very efficient with mm-hmm. it.
Now, what about, within the estate when you have, we talk about mortgages, but what about personal loans that are within an estate? Where does a creditor stand on that? They're pretty far the list, aren't they?
Well, they're unsecured.
Yeah.
And, they are certainly, a lower class creditor than a secured creditor, but they are a creditor nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have to be dealt with. They need to make their claim with the clerk of court in the estate file within the time frame, or otherwise we're going to assert as the attorney for the executor that they failed to make a timely claim.
Mm-hmm.
And we have such positive results in these files, particularly with unsecured debt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I read that City Bank actually had determined that they were not even going to file claims against estates for unsecured credit card debt, and that had just become a corporate decision. that they were so that so many times they were unnecessary. They were unable to get paid.
The average claim would have been so small, probably,
right.
In terms of their entire universe, it wouldn't make sense. But we'll have more to come in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. Remember, you can go online at harvellandcollins.com, listen to past shows, get lots of other information, too, newsletters and the like, and check out and see what they can offer, and email addresses as well for Harvell and Collins. harvellandcollins.com is the website. And welcome back to the program. You know, before we had Rachel's call too, Wes, we were talking about LLCs and the kind of protection that may afford for.
Right. We were talking about the dynamic of the case that Cecil talked about, where we had the individual who had a personal property that was being foreclosed upon, and she was concerned about a deficiency mm-hmm. against her and how that would affect her, more valuable, apparently, property with equity in it, her commercial property.
Right.
So, of course, my question about that was were the commercial properties held in a LLC or not?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that they're not. So in the event that Rachel, or not Rachel, the person that
yes, right.
Cecil was talking about, the caller was Rachel, in the mm-hmm. event that the client were to put the property into an LLC, then at this point in time, she's really on notice that there, you know, is a potential claim against her.
Right.
I mean, whether the foreclosure started. So the closer you get to that point, the better the evidence is to set aside a conveyance into an LLC based upon a fraudulent conveyance statute. So mm-hmm. you're better off, you know, really to go ahead and get ahead of the game with regard to that. And if you're using property for a commercial purpose, whether it's a, you know, rental property or whether you're operating a business out of it mm-hmm. or whatever you're doing, it's better to go ahead and put that into LLC and operate, walk, talk, you know, like a business like we've talked about.
Yeah, but, I think we had a question before. It's like, should I have multiple LLCs for different
right.
properties, depending probably on how they operate?
That's right. So if there is a judgment against this individual and, you know, she has an LLC or a couple of LLCs or commercial property in it,
mm-hmm.
The judgment against the individual doesn't require the LLC to pay her.
Mm-hmm. Right?
What that basically, you know, in legal terms is you can't execute that judgment specifically for money from the LLC. Now, you could get the creditor could get a judgment against the individual and then get what's called a charging order,
mm-hmm.
which would potentially require the LLC to make disbursements in the event there are disbursements. But this could be an LLC that just basically barely cash flows.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Pays the debt every month
mm-hmm.
or just keeps money in the business itself and really doesn't make disbursements. The LLC can be set up in a way so that it's not necessary to make disbursements to this individual who has the judgment against her.
Right.
I mean, if there are multiple members of the LLC or if it's a husband-wife, the operating agreement could be set up so the disbursements are made to the husband. So
again, each case is going to be particular to that, and you have to ask all those questions. That's why you
that's
call
right.
on the folks at Harvell and Collins, Attorneys of Law, again at 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.